The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, if you will, please, and let's go back and look at that scripture we looked at just a moment ago, and it's in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Paul said there's some things I have learned. He said, and that is whatever state I find myself in, just to be content. Then he says this. He says in verse 12, "I know both how to be abased," it says, "and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So basically what Paul is saying is, I have learned how to survive and be happy in my survival in every single way. So many times a person will have great, great aspirations for things that they think they need, but when we come right down to it, we just really don't need it. I want to speak to you this morning about this matter of financial freedom. You know, there's several things that's equated with being financially free. You'll hear the word delight. Somebody says, "Finally paid off my house, I'm delighted." Or, "I finally paid off my car, I'm delighted." Or, "I finally paid off the last child, I'm delighted." You'll hear the word hope with financial freedom. Somebody says, "Well, I tell you what, one day I hope to be financially free so that I can go on to do greater things for God." You'll hear the word joy being equated, if you would please, with financial freedom. Somebody says, "Well, I tell you what, I've got great joy because I owe no man. I'm financially free in my personal world." Somebody says, "Well, I tell you what, I've got peace." Or they say, "It's refreshing." Or they'll use the word of freedom. And I want to talk, using that last word, freedom, to be able to talk about financial freedom. Now, I'm gonna show you how God views financial freedom. Hey, quote a verse with me. You ready? "For God so loved the that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in should not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, now wait a minute. God gave. So God is the one that gave first. Is that right? Because God gave his son, you and I have eternal life. Well, does it surprise us to understand that God not only gave his son, God gave you the present world in which you live in. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right, so God owns everything. When you walk outside and you walk on a blade of grass, guess who owns that? When you go outside and you breathe air, guess who owns that? When you go outside and you look at the clouds that's lingering in the skyline, guess who owns that? When you go outside and you look at the stars at night or the sun in the day, guess who owns that? When you go outside and now all of a sudden there's a brisk wintry wind that crosses your face, guess who owns that? When you go outside in the Texas summer heat and you get to breathe in the hot, hot air, guess who owns that? God owns all things. So we understand this, that God first did the giving. God is the one that gave you your health. God is the one that gave you your wealth. God is the one that gave you the ability to rise up in the morning and to lay down at night. God is the one that's given you the ability to be able to hold an intelligent conversation. God is the one that's given you the ability to be able to run down a basketball court or to walk down a basketball court. God has given you the ability to be able to get behind the steering wheel of your favorite vehicle and drive it off the church parking lot to your home or to some other place. God has been good to us. God has been good to us, and that God has given us all that God himself has given. Now, to be honest with you, in all that God has done for us, God expects little, if you will, in return. Now, the Bible teaches that we ought to honor God First, it talks about tithes and offerings. We covered that the past 3 weeks, and like I said a moment ago, this will be the last time for a little bit that I preach on finances. But I do want us to bring out some things, to reiterate some things to be a help, where the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 10, says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. So here's what God says. God says that giving ought to be a part of your life. So giving ought to be something that is natural to the Christian, just like giving out a gospel, a tract, ought to be natural to the Christian. Just like you sitting down and right before you eat, you bow your head and you thank God for the food. It ought to be natural for the Christian. Just like you getting up in the morning and you crack open your Bible to be able to start your day on the right foot, it ought to be natural for the Christian. Just like coming to church and fellowshipping with other believers, ought to be natural. Coming to church faithfully, hearing the Word of God preached, and allowing the Word of God to be able to help direct you in your life, it ought to be natural. Coming to an altar, praying when God speaks to your heart and asking God to help you, guide you, protect you, give you wisdom along life's way, it ought to be natural. So there's some natural things that God expects of us as believers, as Christians, and that is this. We ought to give our tithes and offerings. That's a natural thing that God expects. Another thing God expects is we're supposed to be able to give to the poor. Now, when the Bible talks about giving to the poor, it talks about giving them, if you would please, the necessities that they need for life. You know, I'm ashamed of people that get food stamps and use it for cigarettes. I'm ashamed of people that get food stamps and they use it for beer or they use it for stuff like that, and their poor babies are needing food. Oh, what a shame. In the olden days, what would take place is when the poor needed help, what they would do is those that own land, they would carve off a little section of that land, and there was the gleanings that was left. Sometimes in the corner, they would leave a corner of the crop that was left there, or the fruit, or the vineyard, whatever it was, and they would just leave that, and the poor people would come along, and they would be able to take of that because of the graciousness of the farmers that wanted to try and help out. Now, by the way, in that, there was work. There was work. Now, don't get mad at me just yet, but my Bible says if a man doesn't work, he's not supposed to eat. All right? And so it is very important that, and it's good to teach your children to work. Amen? It's good to teach them to work. Say, honey, we're going to have supper here in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes from now. By the way, you go clean your room and you get ready to come down. But now, you're not going to be able to sit at the table until you clean your room, so go ahead and get it done. That's teaching them to work a little bit. Hello. Hey, listen, we live in a society where everybody wants something for nothing. That's not God's plan. God's plan is man is supposed to work by the sweat of his brow. That is God's plan. Nobody gets a free ride. Everybody puts in and everybody works. Now, that's not popular in our society, but that's the Bible way. I said that is the Bible way. All right, and so, but yes, we're supposed to give to be able to help the poor. The Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. The Bible says, he that hath pity upon the poor, says, lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, he says, he will repay him again. All right, so we're supposed to have pity on the poor. We're supposed to help people that are less fortunate than ourselves. That's why we run the bus routes. We run the bus routes to pick up people that's less fortunate so that they do have a way to come to church, so that they can sit on a bus, so that they can come and hear old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned Bible teaching and listen to godly music. That's why we do what we do. Every Christmas, we do Christmas baskets for those that are members of our church that are needy, to be able to help them and to be able to meet their needs when it comes to being able to feed their families. And we'll have the Christmas boxes up here, and we'll have a list inside the Christmas boxes to be able to go. And we do love the people of our church, and it doesn't matter what status, we are a church. We are a church. We have people in our church that make 7 digits a year. We have people in our church that make 6 digits a year. We have people in our church that make 5 digits a year. We have people in our church that only make 4 digits a year. And may I say, we don't put one person over top of another one. This is God's place here. And we thank God for every person that comes here. You might be sitting beside somebody this morning. They may live in a $400,000 home or a $700,000 home. You may be sitting beside somebody this morning and they live in a trailer that has a value of maybe only $8,000, or maybe they can't even afford that and they're renting. May I say, everybody's welcome at Parkside Baptist Church. And as we serve together and we love God together and we go forward together and we get out the gospel, that's what it's all about. It's not how much you paid for your coat. It's that you wear your coat going to the right place and making sure the gospel is given out and that people are being helped. And that's what it's all about. All right, but wait a minute. We understand this, that we are supposed to help those that are poor. Not only that, we're supposed to give to Christians. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, says distributing to the necessity of the saints. It says given to hospitality. So Christians are supposed to help Christians. We have an all-time high at Lone Star Baptist College. Thank God. We have many states that have come now to Lone Star Baptist College. And I feel for those that come from other states, because many of them don't get to go home for Thanksgiving. Many of them don't get to go home to grandma's house to eat, or mom's famous, familiar, and wonderful cooking. They don't get to go home for Christmas. And so we have a sign-up sheet where you could host a college student. Take them into your home during Thanksgiving and love on them. That's what Christians are supposed to do for Christians. Take them in your home and love on them. That's what Christians are supposed to do for Christians during the Thanksgiving time and the Christmas time. All right, it's loving. You see a brother that's in a need, you help them. You reach out. You try to encourage them. I thank God our church does a good job with that. Then the financial freedom begins with spiritual giving. With spiritual giving. Here's what the Bible says. The book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together." It says, "And running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, wherewith it shall be measured to you again." All right, so here's what God says. God says, "I will give you proportionately to the degree that you give back. But when I give to you, it's going to be in a greater proportion than what you gave to me." You know, the Bible says over in the book of James, it says chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you." It's God that always wants the believer to take the first step when getting closer to him. So would it be any different in your financial world? Somebody says, "Well, I wonder how come God has blessed so-and-so so much, but has blessed me not so much." It might be that they are sowing bountifully, and yet you are still sowing sparingly. Because the Bible says, "He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, wait a minute. Are you listening to me? You can call that a God verse. You can call that a Bible verse. That is truth. And when a person steps up and they say, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey that truth." God is not a liar, and God will take care of you. Why? Because that's who God is. We say, "But you understand, we have to have it in order to give it." God has already given it to you. You say, "Well, it's not my bank account," but it might be in the muscles that you're supposed to be using in your legs to go out and get it. Or the brain that's confined to that which is the element of the skull in order to think about it. I mean, God has already blessed you. You'd be amazed. There's five ladies in Houston. And I try and stay in contact with them every year because it's about the month of October that they do this. And they prepare for the wintry months. I was at a conference in that church many years ago, a missions conference. And I learned about these five ladies. Here's what they do. They go down to a thrift store. And sometimes these thrift stores will get a whole bag of clothes, garments, for a dollar. You can gather up as much as you can fit in a bag for a dollar. And these dear ladies, all retired, has been doing this for many years. And they go down there to get these big bag of clothes for a dollar. And then they get together and they make quilts. And then they sell the quilts. The quilts are so nice looking and so much in demand that people place orders for them. And last year, to the needs of missions, here's what they did. They sold those quilts and brought in $9,142. Did you get that? Over $9,000 that they gave the missions. These are retired ladies. They get together and they fellowship. They get together and they put these quilts together. And they go out and they buy these big old bags of clothes for a dollar. And then they go and they have a good time. And hey, did you know that almost sounds to me like a Proverbs 31 lady. Using the town. You'd be amazed. We was on the road and my children wanted to go to a mission trip. And I said, well, the only problem, I can't pay your way. Every mission trip that my children has ever gone on, they had to raise their own money. And so I said, I can't pay your way, and you're going to have to pay your own way. So they got together, put their heads together, and they decided that we're going to sell candy. So they went down to Walmart, and they got those mason jars. They had the screw on tops, went over to Sam's, and they bought the gum candy, put it in the mason jars, and they would go out, and they'd sell the little mason jars for $5 a piece. And the big mason jars for $7 a piece. And every year that they wanted to go on a mission trip, they were able to raise their own money as we traveled from town to town. And they raised the money just like that, just by going out and selling those mason jars of candy. Now, may I say, there's always a way. Somebody says, well, I don't have the money to be able to do. Hey, we live in America. We live in a place where you have the freedom to be able to go out, and you have the freedom of free enterprise to be able to go out and to make the money that you need to support your family and to support the work of God and to support the things that you need in your life. Wait, and so where does it all start? It starts by giving to God, because God says that you give it and he's going to give it back. But when he gives it back, it's going to be in a greater measure than what you gave. Then, of course, the Bible talks about as God prospers you. Aren't you glad that we have a God that believes in equality? Percentage, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. The Bible says, as God hath prospered him. As God hath prospered him. So God says, here's what I want you to do. He said, I'm only expecting you to get back to the degree that I have prospered you. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, God says, what's going to happen when you do that? He says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, he says that where thieves do not break through and steal. He said, I'm going to give it back, and I'm going to give it back so that thieves cannot break through and steal it. When I give, it increases my heart for God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So as I invest in something, then okay, here's a guy gets an old beat-up car. You may call it a piece of junk. Gets an old beat-up car, but he begins to tinker with it. And he, all of a sudden, gets a glimmer of hope. He says, I know how to fix this. If I do this, and I do this, and I do this, I can get it fixed. So he invests his time. The more that he invests his time, the more his heart has a hope. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now he's got a great hope. Boy, one day it'll run. One day it'll take off. Then he begins to dream. Oh, I wonder what it'd be like if it was painted. Be the nicest car in the neighborhood. I wonder if I got fancy car rims on it. What would it look like then? I wonder if I replaced the tires so that they're not bald like my head. But I wonder if they would look. And he begins to dream. You know, where you put your treasure, listen to that verse, the particularities of it. The Bible says here, where your treasure is, that's present tense. There will, that's future tense, your heart be also. Parent comes to me and say, preacher, I've got a rebellious teenager. What do I do? You get them in church. You get them out soul winning. You get them doing the things of God. Why? Because where they invest their time, they invest their treasure, it will change their heart. It will change their heart. Mama says, well, I tell you, I have a teenager and he doesn't want to go to church. What do I do? As he doesn't want to go to church, say, come on, son, we're going to church. You get them around the right place where God can get a hold of their heart, and you invest, you help them to invest their time. Because eventually, I'm telling you, it'll change the heart. Here's a boy that's called the preach. He gets up and he tries the best he can. He enters into the pulpit with as much grace as he can measure up, as he can conquer up. And all of a sudden, he begins to preach and he just falls flat on his belly. Nothing came out right. I mean, nothing came out right. People begin to snicker. People begin to laugh. People begin to smirk at him. People begin to have dialogue with their faces with him and discouraged him. Well, he could give up right there, or he could say, okay, I'm going to give it again. Amen. The ones that get better in basketball are the ones that keep playing. The ones that get better in anything that they do in life is those that just keep doing it. Well, I went soul winning, I didn't know what to say, but at least you went. Next time you'll know a little bit more. Next time you'll know a little bit more. Next time you know a little bit more. Well, preacher, I got up to sing and I was embarrassed. I could not hit the note. That's okay. Next time you'll know what note to avoid. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand that us as believers, where we put our treasure today is where our heart winds up tomorrow. You ready? You get a boyfriend, you get a girlfriend. That's right. You're about 32 and a half. Get a boyfriend, get a girlfriend. And all of a sudden now, you start to invest in her, in him. Hello? Bible says a man's gift maketh room for him. The more gifts you receive from him, the more gifts you receive from her, the more room he or her makes for you in the heart. Are you listening to me? Somebody says, well, I come to church and I just don't get anything out of it. You never will until you put something in it. The more you put in it, the more you get out of it. Well, Brother Wells, you don't understand. I'm tired. I tell people, you were born tired, you'll live tired, you'll die tired. Why don't you serve Jesus Christ tired? We use every excuse under heaven why not to give to God. But the first place to have financial freedom is not God. If you would please, giving to us, though God has already given to us, but God says, you draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. He will be responsive to you taking the step that you need to take. Come on, you can sit down at the table, and by the time you leave, everybody's bored stiff. Woo! You can tell everybody your burden. Woe is me. Nothing's going right in life. By the time you leave there, everybody wants to go check in at the funeral home early. Or you could sit down and say, hey, let me tell you how good God's been in my life. Wow, God answered this prayer and this person got saved and this person got saved. And wow, God is working in my life. And let me tell you about a Bible verse I read this morning that really transformed the way I'm thinking. Hey, you can bring God into your life at any time you want and it could change everybody around you. I'm saying this morning, give. Now, once we give, we do know this, that we will receive. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, now to them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and they eat, it says, their own bread. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to receive. God gives me the ability to be able to receive that which is labor, opportunities that comes into my life. Being able to serve, receive those things. Receive. How do I receive? How do I receive finances? Through diligent labor. I get out and I work, and then I get rewarded for my work. I get paid for my work. How is it that I receive? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 13, the Bible says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. All right, be creative. That's how I receive. Be creative. You know something about real estate? Be creative. You know something about entrepreneurship? Be creative. You know how to make things and to patent them and take them down to the law firm office of Dallas and patent something. Be creative. Be creative. You know how to write a book? Be creative. You know how to bake a cake? Be creative. You know how to bake cookies? Be creative. And think of your pastor as you're being creative. But creative resources. All right, then receiving answer to prayer. That's how we receive. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why are they rejoicing? Answer to prayer. Answer the prayer. Oh, come on. When's the last time you ever got on your face before God and said, now, dear God, please, would you do this in my life? I tell the coffee story often. I used to travel. Brother Whitmore, like you do, we traveled for 12 years in evangelism. You know that, by the way. And I traveled for 12 years in evangelism. Sometimes I needed just a little bit of extra loving from my God. And so I'd be pulling up in a gas station, and I'd say, dear Lord, you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but I sure would appreciate if you treat me to a cup of coffee. And I'd walk in the gas station. I'd fill up with gas. Now, by the way, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. That's just not with God, that's with men too. Faith without works is what? All right? So you put them all together. I just put my faith in God, now I'm going to work for it too. So I'd fill that tank up. I'd go inside, I'd say, look, I just filled my tank up with gas. I think that's good for a free cup of coffee, don't you? Never will forget, one lady said, well, yes, sir. One lady said this, she said, you know, we've never done that before. I said, I think it's a good practice, you ought to start. I'll be your first volunteer. She said, I've never met anybody like you before. I said, I'm leaving soon, but I'd sure like that coffee with me. She said, okay, you can have it. One dear lady, I went in, and my wife wanted a cup of coffee too. Never will forget the day. My wife don't drink much coffee. She's like Brother Nash. About one cup a day will do her. You know, he gets jittery. They said if he drinks too many cups of coffee, he gets jittery. You know, he begins to flex and all that. So if you really want to get him going like a chicken with the head cut off, give him a cup of coffee. Give him two. One day my wife wanted a cup of coffee, and I walked in, and I said, just fill my tank up with gas. I gave you a good service. Why don't you render to me a good service? The lady said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I'd like a cup of coffee. I think it's good for a tank of gas. And she said, well, you know, that's neat. She said, well, you go ahead and help yourself. I said, my wife would like one too. She said, well, that's fine. She said, matter of fact, why don't you take the whole pot? Now, wait a minute. Are you listening to me? You have not because you what? I buy a pair of shoes. I say, thank you, man. I did a good service. I bought a pair of shoes from your company. Do I get a free pair of socks? They said, we don't do that. I said, that's okay. Just thought I'd ask. You say, you're crazy. I've gotten many a free pair of socks. That suit I bought, does it come with a tie? Well, guess it could. How about two? You say, preacher, you don't do that. Listen, can I tell you something? You understand this. You understand that there's a principle here that God is talking about, and that is to be resourceful. Resourceful. Okay? Look. I give faithful. I give faithful. You could ask Brother Palmore. I give faithful. I'm not saying this to boast. I'm not. But I was the fourth or fifth highest giver for the give it all. And by the way, that was a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice. Can I tell you, God will greatly reward. I've watched God do some wonderful things. Now, it is so important. You be resourceful. You be excited about what God can do in your life. Come on. And you give God all the glory. Hey, God gave me a cup of coffee. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, God gave me a pair of socks. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, God's been good to me. Hey, you don't have to get something in order to thank God for it. If you're breathing, you ought to thank God. If you're able to walk, you ought to thank God. Get yourself out of the dumps. Get your body out there and thank God for all that God has done in your life. Now, I'm saying this. God is the one that gives us the ability to receive. How do you receive? By diligent labor, by creative resources, by answer to prayer. By answer to prayer. You pray and you ask God. You ask God to do that work. And God will bless you for it. Then are you ready? Here's the last statement. Then manage what you have. There's the giving, there's the receiving, and the managing. And the managing. One of our college boys had a car and burnt the motor up. I said, son, how'd you burn the motor up? Well, I didn't know you're supposed to put oil in it. So now every time I see him walking down the hallway, I said, you put oil in your car? His parents drove all the way down and gave him another car, brought him another car to Bible college. Drove all the way down from another state, brought him another car. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? He's taking good care of that car now. Oh, yes, he is. He said, preacher, the other day I was talking to him, he said, I think I put too much in. I said, that's an improvement. Now, I'm saying manage. How do you manage your funds? Let me give it to you real quick. Build up sales resistance. Well, you don't understand. Thanksgiving is coming and they're going to have the Black Friday. They'll have one again next year. It's 50% off. It'll be that way next week somewhere. Somewhere. Build up sales resistance. My dear mother, loved to buy clothes. Loved to buy clothes. We had so many clothes around the house. We don't know who they belonged to, but they were there. But she loved to buy clothes. We didn't need them. Have you figured this out yet? You can only wear one pair of pants at a time comfortably. Comfortably. You don't need all that you think you need. Wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 14. The Bible says, it is naught, saith the buyer. He says, but when it is gone his way, then he boasteth. A lot of people say, hey, I got the sale. What are you going to do with it? Well, I don't know. Did you need it? My kids used to say, hey, Dad, can I go to Walmart? Why are you going? It would be the 1,000 questions. Why are you going? Well, you know, I need to buy. Do you have money? Well, is it on sale? Are they running a special? 1,000 questions. By the time they get done answering, they didn't want to go to Walmart. It was next Tuesday. Build up sales resistance. You ready? Look for the best buys. Look for the best buys. Hey, can I give you a hint? You ready for this one? I know this might be above you. But are you ready for this one? You can go down to some surplus stores that are these thrift stores. Yes, you can. So I got to have a name brand. You can get one there. You can go to Macy's and buy a suit for $250. Where's Joseph Morgan? Where are you at? Is he in here right now? Is he over in the B? Joseph went to a thrift store the other day, bought a whole suit for $5. I said, Joseph, he said it was great and it fits. By the way, nobody is going to know where you bought it. Well, preacher, if somebody sees me in there, it's embarrassing. Okay, wear a hat. Pull it down. Get a marker and put a mustache. Look for the best buys. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 16, the Bible says, she considereth a field, and buyeth it. First she considereth it. The Bible says, with the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Consider it. Being prompt, paying your bills. We're talking about managing your money. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 28, the Bible says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again. And tomorrow I will give. No, if you owe something, pay it promptly. Pay it promptly. Put it in your budget and pay it promptly. Are you ready? I'm done. Here it is. Be wise over managing the small things. You ready? Here it is. So that God will trust you for the greater things. Be wise. Be wise. I know people that make 5, 6, 7 digits. Are you listening to me? They don't have much, but a lot of debt. Be wise managing your own funds. Here's what the Bible says. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, and I'm done. The Bible says, he that trusteth in that which is, listen, he that is faithful. He that is faithful is what it says. He that is faithful in that which is the least is faithful also in the much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. So be faithful over the least. Child says, well, I tell you what, I broke that toy. Will you buy me another one? No. You should have took care of that one. Then later on, you wind up buying them something else and say, remember, you broke that one. Don't break this one. It'll last you longer. Hello. I think you do your children a great discredit. And don't get mad at me, children, teenagers, when you just buy them a car and give it to them. Hey, let them earn it. My dad, you ready? Here we go. He gave my brother, my older brother Dave, a car. Dave wrecked it. Wrecked it. I've been bitter ever since. He wrecked it. So I turned 19, got my license when I was 19. So why'd you get him when you're 19? Dad made a new rule. You can't get your license until you can buy your car, pay for your insurance and your fuel. You can't get your license until you can do those three things. He said, so don't even ask. Yes, sir. By the way, I was highly motivated. I worked. I saved money as quick as I could. Went out and bought myself a Vega. Yeah. Ate more oil than it did gas. Broke down every 3 miles. But I learned. Learn to manage your money. God's been good to you. Let's put him first. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.